have a collect call from an inmate at the Washington Correctional Center. To accept the call, press 5.
There's nothing like waking up to the sound of clacking and buzzing as the doors crack in the morning after count clears. Waking up to the reality of life in prison. For some, it is just a stop along their journey, a milepost, an experience. For others, it is a revolving door, in and out, and that's their way of life, stuck in the cycle, pulling and eating away at them. And then for some, it becomes their destination, as the hammer came down and that judge issued them a death sentence. The slow way, by way of life in prison. This is The Life of a Lifer by Taylor Conway.
Keep on walking down the line. Keep on walking down the line. Keep on walking down that street. Keep on walking down the line.
Hello, friends and family, and welcome. Thank you for joining us today. It's a lovely, wonderful Super Bowl day. I gotta tell you, I'm not really interested in either one of these teams. But I don't really like the San Francisco 49ers. Let me tell you why. Well, I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, of course, that's why. So, naturally, the 49ers are like rivals to us, and I just don't want to see them win. I prefer Kansas City. I'm not even really a fan. However, I just don't want to see San Francisco win. You know, Richard Sherman's on there, and I feel like he traded out. He sold out. But I'm not going to hate on the guy too much. Great player and everything. And guess what? I'm looking forward to having some pizza, man. We had a Super Bowl fundraiser, and so I'm looking forward to getting that. Gonna enjoy some pizza, and you know, my wife was really adamant about wanting to see me tomorrow, and I'm gonna have the visit before the game, and then I'm gonna be watching the game, eating some pizza. So it's gonna be a pretty nice day. Looking forward to that. Poor lady, you know, I was being mean, saying that I didn't want to visit because it was a Super Bowl, and how inconsiderate of me. So I had to apologize for that. I'm looking forward to having a wonderful Sunday. Got to work in the morning and then go out, go see the wife, and then watch the Super Bowl, man. Couldn't ask for a better day. Just trying to look at the positive things in life, you know. That's what happens when we take negative situations and try to look to make things better, try to look at the brighter side of things, what we're fortunate for, you have a better outlook on life. You're able to maintain a level of you know, positivity that keeps you out of trouble, keeps you moving forward in the right direction, and opens up possibilities that bring yourself to be in a position to do good things and influence people in a positive way instead of taking it and breaking down and continuing the pathway of destruction that, you know, I myself was on for so long. But having said that, you know, I'm excited about what's to come this week as my interview with Struggle Jennings is going to be coming out on Wednesday. And I'm excited about that, man. I had a chance to sit down and talk to him. Was able to get the interview and looking forward to, he's committed to doing a verse on one of the songs that I wrote. We got the upcoming project that we're working on with Seth Anthony, and you know, good things to come, man. This Life of a Lifer is really taking on a great purpose and spreading the word and getting the voice out there for the incarcerated. So I'm just appreciative to everybody that's been able to put something into it. People that believe in what we're doing, and I'm just going to continue to keep on grinding away at it and keep on moving forward and keep this direction going in the right direction and keep getting support and keep putting in the hard work and effort to really make a difference, man, because bringing out the voice from the people that's inside, I think, is important, and seeing that change is possible, and to end this cycle of mass incarceration that has plagued this nation for so many years now, you know, turning what could be potential opportunities to help and better the communities out there is oftentimes being taken and turned into something that people are just locked away and thrown the key out, thrown away, forgotten about. And these people could really have an impact, especially on the youth, because, you know, I myself, when I was growing up, I didn't want to listen to nobody or anything, you know, but I never had somebody who had been through a situation like me to say, hey, you know, to come in and really show some guidance and give some insight into what the future held. And maybe if that were the case, maybe things could have been different. So my personal mission is to try to change that, try to make sure that if I can, if it's possible, maybe I can have an impact on somebody so they don't face the same things that I've gone through. With saying that, we got Salty Candace. She's about to do a cool interview with a dude that he's on his positive path. That's what we're doing here, man. Not only do I interview people that have gotten out, people that are advocating, people that are doing positive things after incarceration and highlighting them and really showing the contrast between people in prison. We've interviewed some guys that have done 25 years in prison and they had life sentences, they got out on parole, and seeing all the positive things that they're doing now and just showing, like, look, this is what the potential is if you allow some of us to be able to have that opportunity, because hope is a great thing. So we also like to interview people that are inside, not just me, people that are serving long sentences, people that are doing positive stuff. And so Salty Candace is going to be interviewing our correspondent. I just want to also give a big shout out, congratulations to the people Design Conviction, man. As our team grows and expands and as we are venturing out and starting to participate in different events that are taking place, like we were in this candlelight vigil that was in Olympia, Washington, man, that was really heartfelt. And I just appreciate Salty Candace and Tamiko that was out there, my wife. You know, we had OG that came out all the way from West Virginia. He gave a performance and really spread the word and the message about ending this mass incarceration, shared some of his music. He's working with Manifest, Something Beautiful, a company that he started with some of his partners that are really just trying to, you know, send this message and get it out there, get the word out there and try to spread something beautiful. Try to really just change the narrative and create a better path, create opportunities for people, open the minds of people to really understand that what is better for society as a whole is to help rehabilitate people that have been walking down a life that they've been misled on. You know, because not only is that going to make it better for the individual and all those people that they affect, but as a whole in society, that's the solution. The solution isn't just to keep locking people up and breeding more and more and breeding the hatred between. It's to share that love and manifest something beautiful. So I really appreciate and I give a big shout out to my boy OG. He's doing some things, man, that are really big and making an impact. So we promote that, we support it, and thanks to everybody, man. And here is Salty Candace.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Life of Lifer, brought to you by Design Conviction. My name is Salty Candace. Today, we are talking with Joseph Dole, a man serving a natural life sentence after being convicted of a double murder in 1998 via a theory of accountability. In other words, aiding others allegedly committed the crime. It was his first felony conviction for crimes he maintains he is innocent of. Joe is a co-founder of Parole Illinois, an organization dedicated to fighting against the over-sentencing and over-monitoring of people convicted of crimes, and the abolition of life without parole sentences. He has written two books, as well as been included in several anthologies, including Lockdown Prison Heart, Too Cruel, Not Unusual Enough, and Hell is a Very Small Place, Voices from Solitary Confinement. He also has been published in Prison Legal News, Truth Out, Justice, Power and Resistance, and numerous other places, including academic journals, and has written several legislative proposals. Mr. Dahl wants to bring Illinois a fair, inclusive, and retroactive parole system by building a grassroots movement and working with legislators to promote parole legislation that is inclusive and that prioritizes rehabilitation and return to full citizenship. All right. Hello, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you finally.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're very excited to have you. Now, you gave testimony at the convening on higher education in Illinois prisons for the Illinois Coalition for Higher Education in Prisons, the first statewide conference at the State House in Springfield, Illinois, on October 28th last year. Can you tell us what you were hoping to accomplish?
Sure. My inclusion in the conference, as well as that of my two colleagues, was both last minute and unexpected. I'm not known for being a favorite of the prison administration, so I was definitely surprised when a couple of days before the conference, the deputy director informed us that we were the three men from Stateville he was choosing to represent us. It wasn't until the night before the conference that we were informed we would only be allotted 5 minutes each to speak, though. One of the biggest obstacles to educational programs in Illinois is the guards and their union, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME. And now we also have internal affairs using access to educational programs, or denial to them rather, as a tool for retaliation. And we also have a school principal interfering with the college-level programs. Plus, just the horrendous living conditions here work as a serious impediment to being able to fully participate in any educational programs. So I tried to use my quick 5 minutes to argue for better treatment of the volunteers who are constantly harassed for graciously providing millions of dollars in free education to us, and to stress the dire need for humane living conditions and educational materials.
I actually watched that, and I found it to be very compelling. And for only having 5 minutes and, what, a day and notice of doing that, I think you got your point across very well.
Thank you.
Now, you're very welcome. Now, Joe, you've written two amazing books, A Costly American Hatred, and Control Unit Supermax is a National Security Threat. Can you tell us about them?
Sure. I wrote A Costly American Hatred while in TAM Supermax prison. I was reading a lot of articles, law journals, books, and news on criminal justice topics. What was constantly missing from almost all of them was how the dehumanization of anyone who commits a crime and society's hatred of them permits mass incarceration and all the ills that come with it. So A Costly American Hatred was my attempt to explain that aspect of it. It took me several years, however, to save up the money to self-publish it. Actually, I not only wrote it myself and self-published it, but also had to do all the editing myself, as well as the cover art and attempt to market it, which is not easy from prison. So the fact that it is being used in several college courses is something. Control Units and Supermaxes was likewise a solitary effort, other than the cover art, which a friend of mine contributed. But this was just written as a primer on long-term solitary confinement. I wrote it so that other groups trying to close isolation units around the country could see how we were able to close TAMs in Illinois and explain to people unfamiliar with Supermaxes, etc., the detrimental effects they have on society and all our citizens, whether they are people confined in them, working in them, or in society in general.
You have maintained innocence for over two decades. You've also been a jailhouse lawyer helping other people to challenge their convictions. How common do you believe wrongful convictions are in Illinois?
Recently, Mario Cachara was himself wrongfully convicted, exonerated, and recently passed the bar exam to become a lawyer, appeared on Chicago Tonight, and estimated that 5% of the IDOC population is wrongfully convicted. I think that is an extremely conservative estimate, and that it is actually closer to double that. Not only is Chicago the false confession capital of the country, if not the world, but the CPD, which is the Chicago Police Department, has a long history of framing innocent people. Moreover, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office has been knowingly complicit in it and habitually conceals favorable or exonerating evidence from defendants. Now that more resources are being put into uncovering misconduct and growing exoneration projects, the number of exonerees will continue to grow. So yeah, in my experience, I would say 1 in 10 lifers or long-termers incarcerated in Illinois are factually innocent of the crimes they were convicted of. And the number serving shorter sentences is probably higher due to the simple fact that 90% of them pled guilty, and often people plead guilty to crimes they did not commit just because, due to our dysfunctional legal system, pleading guilty often presents the quickest way to regain their freedom. Just as worrisome, however, is that nearly everyone in prison today is over-sentenced, meaning at some point in their prison bit, even the guilty become wrongfully incarcerated, by which I mean there ceases to be any legitimate penological objective being realized by forcing them to serve out the remainder of their sentence. Not only does it become unnecessary for public safety, but the resources wasted on over-incarceration threaten public safety because they aren't available for education and crime prevention programs.
Right. Wow, those are all huge, huge points, and those numbers are actually staggering. Now, you've also written and co-written legislative proposals that have made huge impacts. Can you tell us a bit about the proposals and how they've been used in legislation?
Sure. More than a decade ago, while I was in isolation, I got my hands on a copy of the Illinois Legislative Reference Bureau's bill writing manual. With that, I wrote a House joint resolution calling for the creation of a task force to study issues affecting long-term prisoners. A friend of mine, Bill Ryan, was able to get an Illinois representative to sponsor it, and it ended up passing. Several subcommittees were then created, which produced a few useful reports. My goal was just to get the legislators to think about all of these life sentences the state was handing out and how they were affecting people's lives and the state's budget. Since then, I've written numerous proposals for legislation, white papers for legislative committees, and even a few actual bills. The most recent one that I worked on was a proposed bill myself and my classmates in the state bill debate team wrote to argue for returning a parole system to Illinois. The state abolished parole in 1978, but ironically, half of the nearly 20 legislators who came to our debate over parole were unaware of that fact, or the fact that more than 5,000 people are currently sentenced to die in prison in Illinois.
And you're also working to bring an inclusive and retroactive parole system to the state of Illinois. Can you tell us what that would look like? What would it include, and what desired effect it would have on the prison system?
Sure. So due to the success of the debate on parole, the IDOC canceled our class, kicked out our teacher, and began retaliating against all of us. They see a parole system, as a threat to their job security, basically, which we hope it would be. Several of us on the debate team, as well as activists outside of prison, founded the organization Parole Illinois. We not only push for a fair, effective, and retroactive parole system, but for reforms addressing all overly punitive sentencing and monitoring laws. We want a parole system that is as unbiased as you can get, one that has a risk assessment instrument that is constantly evaluated and corrected for any bias, and one that flips the script, so to speak, meaning the impetus should be on the state to prove why one shouldn't be paroled rather than the other way around. We hope such a system would be one more tool to reduce the prison population.
That would definitely make sense to flip it, like he stated. Yes, definitely. It's called parole, a safety valve, for the no legal system. Can you explain what you mean by that term?
Yeah, parole is definitely just one of the steps we see as necessary on the road to decarceration in Illinois. After 5 decades of tough-on-crime rhetoric, we have so many overly punitive laws and barriers to court review, which all need to be addressed, that we need a safety valve that can cover everyone to ensure that nobody dies in prison unnecessarily while we wait to repeal the hundreds of inhumane laws on the books. So we see parole as superseding any sentence handed down, whether that be life without parole or 100 years, etc., hundreds of which are still handed out annually in Illinois. Also in Illinois, as I noted, we have a serious problem with wrongful convictions. The average wrongfully convicted person spends decades in prison until he or she can prove their innocence. Many of them would have been able to regain their freedom much sooner via a parole system, if a fair and effective one were in place, and then they could have proven their innocence on the street. Recently, we were able to get new sponsors to put up an earned discretionary release bill in the Senate, so that's what we're hoping to push this legislative session. Parole, it's, unlike most other states, parole is kind of like a dirty word, because the old parole system was seen as racist due to who was on the parole board at the time, and whites were being let out faster than blacks and stuff like that. So, you know, just as far as terminology, it's easier to sell it as earned discretionary release. And, you know, we're not going to get everything we want in the first bill. So the bill we're putting up would, you know, it doesn't have exclusions, and it has a bunch of the stuff that we would want in it, and it's a good bill for us to rally around, and if we can get it passed, we look at that as the first stepping stone to, you know, building a truly humane discretionary release system, whether you call it parole, earned discretionary release. A lot of states are going to, like, second look legislation, and I know Cory Booker has put out some stuff on second look legislation, and, you know, second look, we, unless you're going to get a bunch of bites at the apple, and a lot of the other issues are addressed that we're talking about, we're not too interested in second look unless it's truly fair and humane. But we, you know, we're interested in getting people out of prison and making sure everybody has a chance to prove that, you know, they're safe to release. Whether what you call it is kind of, you know, besides the point, we just we fight against the, you know, the whole thought of death by incarceration, where you tell someone you did X or Y and we're going to keep you in prison forever and there's nothing you can do to change that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I wish you the best on that. I hope that they can be put in some language that maybe somebody would agree with. How can people get involved and help you reach your goals? Do you have a Facebook page or a website they can go to?
Sure. There's several ways to contact me personally. I can be contacted through the GTL Connect Network system or at my email account, which is josephdole4paroleillinois@gmail.com, with the 4 being the actual number 4. You can also follow me on Facebook at Joseph Dole Incarcerated Writer. Also, you can write me via snail mail at Joseph Dole, ID number K84446, Stateville Correctional Center, P.O. Box 112, Joliet, Illinois, 60434. And as far as Parole Illinois, people can contact us through Instagram or Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and visit our website at paroleillinois.org. People can make donations online at our website by clicking on the donate button on our homepage or by sending a check or money order to Parole Illinois, 601 South California Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60612. And if you're in Illinois or nearby, you can when you follow us, you'll see events that we have around the state, and hopefully you'll come out and attend an event and, you know, get involved and donate some time and energy to helping us out.
Definitely, definitely. Well, thank you for that. Joe, we want to thank you for all that you're doing. You're an inspiration to everyone who is fighting to make a difference in the American prison system. We at Design Conviction support you for your efforts. We hope to help spread the word about the needs of all incarcerated individuals.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're back. And just want to say thank you, Salty Kenneth. That was a great interview. We're trying to put people out there, give them a platform, let them speak their piece, and share with the world really what they're up to. You know, the great positive things that they're doing, the struggles that they're going through, and how they're overcoming those things. And I think that it's a great way to really just see people that you would never get to see people in this light or this perspective. And that's kind of what our goal is here with this, is just to change that narrative. So thank you. And Salty Candace is doing a great job being our correspondent. She does a lot of stuff here with Design Conviction, and I really want to thank her and give my appreciation for that and just say that you're doing a great job. So anyways, I really want to let you get going because I know that the Super Bowl is on today. You probably got a lot of things to get ready for, a lot of stuff to do. It is a pleasure and it is a privilege to be able to have this voice and to have you listening. So anybody who has questions, I got answers, or I'll come with something. You know, if you got something that you want to add, something that you want to be a part of, if you want to be a part of what we're doing, if you want to help out, spread the word. Tell somebody to listen to us. You know, let them know what we're doing here. Also, don't forget, we got our new magazine just coming out, and you can get it right now, Outside Design Conviction, the magazine. We just are about to launch the Free Taylor Project album. Make sure that you check out thefreetaylorproject.com and you can find out a lot more about me. You can see pictures. You can get some of the, you know, support us to push this thing further, because it's not, Free Taylor represents not just me, but many other people that come along the same lines as different things. I'm just trying to get it out there. That's what we're doing here. We're trying to get it out there. But if you want to look into my case, if you want to see more about insights into me, what I've done with my time, check it out, freetaylorproject.com. My wonderful, beautiful wife is also getting more involved in what we're doing. She's putting herself out there a little bit. If you want to check out some behind the scenes of Design Conviction, check out, you know, kind of how things are working. We're going to be putting more stuff out there, and you can check her out on at Wife of a Lifer. So yeah, and you know, she's just an amazing gal, and I really do appreciate her, and I want you to check her out and see what's going on there. Beautiful woman, very, very, very intelligent, and you know, she really is what is behind the scenes on making this whole thing happen. So yeah, if you're interested, go and look. Anyways, I also am planning to, if we have people who want to come on the show and ask a question at the end of the show in this segment right here, go ahead and get at us on A Life of a Lifer or on Design Conviction, and we can set up the time to be able to potentially have you on here to ask me a question in person on the phone, and you know, we can arrange that. So, or hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, on the website, lifeoflifer.com, designconviction.com. Check us out, see what we're doing. A lot of cool stuff going on. Get involved, give us your support, and make a difference. All right, with that, enjoy the Super Bowl.